In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Those Jews in our text sought to destroy Jesus for three reasons. He is the eternal Son of the Father. Those who believe his word will never see death. And those who refuse to hear this word are children of the devil. This is how it goes. You cannot know Jesus apart from his word. You cannot know the Father apart from Jesus. Thus, you cannot be saved apart from Jesus through his word. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus. There is salvation in no other word apart from the word, the will, sent by the Father. And there is no other God, nor is there any other way to know God apart from Jesus speaking in his word. And if you refuse to hear his word, then you don't have the truth. And instead you have lies, which makes you a child of the prince of lies. Now, this teaching, it is hard to hear, it scandalized them just as it should. They could not bear to hear it, and thus they sought to kill Jesus for blasphemy. And now, while the true glory of God is revealed to them in Jesus Christ, they can't bear to receive it. So they hide themselves from God's grace and mercy with their unbelief, holding on to a lie. This unbelief that they are the true children of Abraham, not by faith but by blood, has brought them to deny God's word in the flesh and make them their enemy. They could not and they would not see him through the flesh as the glory of God revealed to them, his will. This scandal is not just for them, though. This teaching from Jesus today scandalizes you, too. Now, you have your Bible, and you can speak of Jesus. But just like those in the text, your flesh as well cannot bear to hear his word. Sometimes he speaks in a way that is offensive to us, that is difficult for us to hear. Sometimes it's stark. Either you're with him or against him, shocks us, awes us. The exclusivity, that black and white, it offends us. Thus, you'll even hear Christians, maybe you've said it, there are many ways to believe, many paths to God. And then the way that the Bible teaches morality, that too offends us. He doesn't give us platitudes or just good advice or gentle niceties for you to be encouraged and to be built up. Instead, he says that no one can live according to God's will and his word. No one has loved God. No one has obeyed him. And yet, there are those who know the will and who obey, but not of their own doing, but only by his working, through the word, by the Spirit. That too offends us, because it challenges our own will, our own self-esteem, our own expectations, our false hopes. God humbles us even to the point of death as he drowns the old Adam in our baptism. And we can't bear it. We want to cooperate. We want to collaborate. We want to be a part of God's word. We want to be the actor in our own salvation story. And instead, he undermines us. He decimates us. He calls us lost sheep, dust and ashes, worms. So what is so offensive is this. You're either with Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, or you've got nothing and you are nothing. But that doesn't stop even Christians from trying to live apart from Jesus, to live apart from his word, to hold on to sin rather than to be forgiven, try to deal with it themselves, and to try to sugarcoat it, to cover it maybe with fig leaves, or to use excuses like, that's just how things are these days, or I just can't change the way that I was made. But the reality is, as it was for those in our text today, there is no hiding from Jesus. His holy law always discovers your hiding places, the lies that you've come to believe, the way that you hide your sins from him. And he exposes you, naked and guilty, ashamed before your Creator. Now that's quite unbearable. That offends us, scandalizes us. But again, our confession of who we are as sinners, or of the devil, being children of the devil himself, or that we will die apart from him, well, that is not the only unbearable word that he speaks to us. But again, the thing that scandalizes us more than anything is that there is salvation in Christ alone, by his word alone, through faith alone. There's no other way, no other truth, no other life. The scandal is that salvation does not require your power, your strength, your effort, even your emotional engagement. You cannot contribute, you cannot assist, and you cannot earn his forgiveness. And you might already know this to be true. When you've tried to work out your sin apart from Christ, away from his word, without his forgiveness. But your faith is all in Jesus, his word and his sacraments, all given to you as a gift, and by no other way. Not you, not your obedience, not your piety, not your ancestry. But in order for you to come to believe this, it does seem at times that Jesus is not only aloof or even difficult to handle, as he was today in the gospel, but that he even has withdrawn from you, that he has forgotten you. You suffer poverty, sickness, and even death, and you wonder, where is God? Where is God to heal, to raise from the dead? You are tormented by your sins, your stupid mistakes, your failures, your neglects of others. And you say, where is God now to rescue me? You are mocked, criticized for your antiquated views, crucified in the court of public opinion for your confession of Christ. And you cry out, well, you already did today, vindicate me, God. Defend me from unjust men. Yes, sometimes God is aloof, even offensive, even it seems to have withdrawn from you. And that's precisely where God wants you to be. You are exposed by him to be clothed by him. You find yourself guilty that you would be forgiven in his shed blood. You come to learn of your shame, not that you would be left there, but that you would be reconciled in him. The Father brings you to this knowledge that you would be washed in Christ's blood, clothed in Christ's righteousness, fed with Christ's body and blood, forgiven in Christ. The knowledge of sin, the intensity of this confession of sin now during Lent, is not an end unto itself. It is the means by which God drives you back to trust in Him. Trust in Him for forgiveness, to be shrouded in His mercy, to be healed with His holy medicine, to be fed with His food of eternity. This is gospel good news. And it's even more shocking and awesome than the law or your sin. But this begs a question. Why have so many who have called themselves Christians now absented themselves from Jesus and His Word? Why can they not bear to look upon Him, to hear from Him again, to receive from Him these promised gifts? What would keep a Christian who has been baptized and who has been given the gift of salvation now to never darken the doors of this place? Something offended them. Something now is getting in the way of trust in God alone. Is it fear of judgment? Is it that confession of sins? Is it the scandal of the cross that Christ died for them? Or is it the exclusivity that there is salvation in no other name? The answer is yes. Those offended in today's gospel text help us to understand what has gone wrong. Again, it's the word of Jesus that is so contrary to those Jews and to your natural religion that they even assume that what Jesus says comes from the devil himself. They said to Jesus, "Aren't we not right in saying that you have a demon and are a Samaritan? Samaritans and demons alike are known by their lie-telling, the deceit." But is this true of Jesus? Does he lie today? They could not be more wrong. He is sent by the Father. He is the word of truth. He has been sent to speak that word of truth to them. And by refusing to listen to him, Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil. His word is only lies." Now that seems harsh, but let's be honest. All of us would rather, at times, listen to what our itching ears want to hear, what our corrupt hearts would rather have, and no longer listen to Jesus, his word, rightly, and be deceived. But for them, it's even worse, because now the thing that they believe, the thing they trust in, their religion, they believe is true and right. That to be a true child of Abraham is to be of Abraham's lineage, by birth, by blood. Not as a gift of faith by the Holy Spirit through that word of promise, the word of Jesus, who is the truth. I think we need to be more sympathetic with those who have walked away from the church, who have been offended by Jesus. We should sympathize with the Jews in today's text because we're not any different than them. Your fallen flesh resists God's word just as much, just as he's ordained it. You too listen to the whisperings of the devil, the murmurings of your own heart, the ideas of your mind, and you know that faith falters and fails. The Christian who does not keep close to Jesus, namely to his word, will soon become confused, conflicted, and in doubt, as the lies and deceits of the prince of this world, the devil, are mixed with what they know to be true, or even the lies they tell in their own heart, which are at odds with Jesus' word, again, bring about confusion. We should be sympathetic. But we also need to recognize that there is only one way to be restored again. Just as Jesus today rebuked the unbelief of the Jews, their denial of him, he does so not to damn them to hell, to condemn them forever, But he does so for repentance, for faith. He seems to hide himself behind a harsh word of judgment today, not to leave them there, but that they would, maybe not until after his death and resurrection, recognize him as God in the flesh, the word of truth. So he does not hide from you either, nor does he hide from those who have walked away from him. He keeps speaking his word generously. He keeps sending his messengers to preach that word in truth, that you would receive it by the Spirit and learn it. Because there is salvation in no other name. Only Jesus can save you from your sin. And he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he keeps forgiving. Not just forgiving those sins which you know and feel in your heart, but mostly, importantly, the sin of unbelief, the sin that would reject him and his word. And where he forgives, you are receiving life and salvation, restoration, healing. Today, Jesus wants you to know that he has not just cleansed you from sin. He's not just healed your soul. He has, in his word of forgiveness, an even greater promise. That he has defeated death. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. That's what it's really all about. Receiving his word regularly is not just about faith for this life, but it's to be kept in Jesus to the life to come, to being always made ready for death. Because the word is the only power to save. It is the only power, the only word that can prepare you to die with hope. If you keep this word close by, always at the ready, Jesus, you'll never see death. Instead, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. You will be like your father Abraham, who rejoiced that he would see the day of Christ. He saw that day as the ram was delivered to him that his son would not die. He saw it, and he was glad. The Christian can stare death in the face and say, I am forgiven. You have no power over me. This sort of confident faith is what we see in the first martyr, St. Stephen. As it's recorded in Acts, as he was being stoned, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Even in the face of horrible death, he did not lack hope. Jesus was near. He knew the promise of the resurrection. He was well prepared for that day. Like Abraham, who saw forgiveness and life in the promised Messiah, so Stephen saw the ascended Christ as victor over death. Even while the stones were being cast to kill him, Stephen saw the day of the Lord. Even as he was dying, he was glad. That's because for Stephen and for you, Jesus has not hid his face from you. His word is proclaimed to you, and it is heard. And in Jesus, you see the Father. In Jesus, you are with the Father. You are truly children of your heavenly Father. He has given you the joy of his salvation, and he keeps giving you his word and its holy gifts, so that you would be near him, that you would receive him, that you would be kept in him. God's salvation is not hidden from you, even though Jesus himself went and hid himself from them. But he is seen by you with eyes of faith. In Jesus, you know the glory of God is revealed. So even when it seems that your sin has gotten the best of you, even when you're tempted to walk away from this Christian faith altogether, even when it seems your enemies are out to get you, or that death is knocking at your doorstep, God has not forgotten you. You know that Christ is near. His word is yours. And in his forgiveness, you have this promise. You will never see death, no matter what comes. But even now can rejoice in this, the Lord's day. Thanks be to Jesus in his holy name. Amen.